Welcome everybody to our monthly forum, and here are a couple of guidelines. We're going to have a topic, and if anybody has a question, please be brief and to the point. There's no absence requirement to ask a question, but if you are going to share on a topic, please have 30 days of is it 30 days? Yeah, 30 days of continuous abstinence. Is it 30 days, girls? It is, huh?
I would think so for a forum.
Because of sponsorship. Yeah.
Sponsor. Mm-hmm.
30 days of continuous abstinence and have stepped up as a sponsor in order to share. And as I said, please be brief and to the point if you have a question. And Susan's going to be our timekeeper. We'll have 3-minute positive shares on sponsorship. And Susan will be our timekeeper. She'll give you a 1-minute warning to wrap up. So, and this forum runs for 45 minutes. And it's also being recorded. So if you don't feel comfortable with leaving your name, just ask a question or share. Thank you. All right. So,
Suzanne?
Yes.
I'm sorry, it's Susan. Can we start with the Serenity Prayer?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me.
Thank you.
Please join us in the Serenity Prayer. Star 628.
God, grant us the serenity.
To accept the things I can change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will not mine be done.
Amen.
So the topic we're going to talk about first is the fourth and fifth step, and there are a few ways to do it. And Cheryl, would you like to go first on the fourth and fifth step, please?
Okay. Writing my inventory and turning it over to my sponsor. That was kind of scary to do. I kept hearing all these horror stories about wait till you get to your inventory. And some of it was really hard, some of it was tough, and some of the questions I had to skip over and come back to. And, of course, there were some that were embarrassing, but I knew when I was told that this was the only way I would get healed. This was the only way that I would be able to find recovery. I had to go through this process. I was lucky that I had a sponsor that was really kind. She was listening. She wasn't really giving me much input, and there were some times that I really was glad that she wasn't doing that. For the most part, it was just me talking about my past, my experiences, and how I felt about them. Sort of almost felt like a therapy situation, but I know that even though it was something I was not glad to be going through at the time, I know today that it was very important. For one thing, it was important that I find out what my character defects were, or are. At that time, I didn't think I had any. And going through my inventory, I kept realizing again and again that there were lots of them there. And then later on, I was able to pull out that inventory and be able to get my list in order and then be able to make amends. The idea that when I hear an inventory today, and my responsibility, the way I see it, is that I just listen. I listen to how the person reads her writing. I don't get involved. Now, there may be some sponsors that feel it might be good to give some input and direction. For me, as a sponsor, I like to continue or just duplicate what my sponsor did and just listen. I feel comfortable that way, and I believe that my sponsors are comfortable. If they ask or they would like to hear, get some input, then I'll be glad to do that. Turning it over, so that's writing it and turning it over. And like I say, sometimes it's difficult, but I've learned in program, and since then, for a long time, I'm in here for a long time, and I've learned that I'm close to my sponsor. There are things I can discuss with my sponsor that I cannot discuss with anyone else. I'm not comfortable. They don't understand. They don't get it. They don't know that things that stress me out and things that are going on in my life, that I turn to food. And they don't see the connection. And some people will tell me, when I'm nervous, when I'm having a problem, I can't eat. Well, that's not me. You know, when there's something happening, I eat. So I don't want to do that anymore. I choose today to stay away from food, and that's not mine. I have my weighed and measured meals, and that's all I can have. And if something comes up, I have different tools. I make outreach calls. I sit down and write. I pick up that big book, love that big book, And right. So, and tried to distract myself. For one thing, physically, I remove myself from the situation where the food is. Even if it's a couple minutes, I leave the room and just, you know, halt, stop, pause, say the serenity prayer, get reconnected to my higher power and the program, and then be able to go back to where the food was. So the relationship between sponsor and sponsee during the inventory is very important. It's important that I make that sponsee feel comfortable and not embarrassed. And again, if there are questions that you're not comfortable with at that time, we can skip it and come back to it later on. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, your thoughts on the fourth and fifth step?
Hi. Susan, compulsive eater. And I have come to consider the fourth and fifth step holy, in that, I come from someone who rejected the spiritual part of this program for decades, quite honestly, but it is truly a spiritually important process, both the fourth and fifth step, and how we go about writing our fourth step, and the clarity with which we offer it in our fifth step, and the way it is received as a sponsor from the sponsee is all just divinely held. What I think is necessary is to reach out to our higher power, to our God, and be encircled in that spirit. I was already, future tripping and doing the fourth step. I was really good at beating myself up and finding my faults and all of that. So doing the fourth step wasn't as big of a block as anticipating making amends. And what I was able to do was I got to the fourth step after a process of working steps 1, 2, and 3 and being abstinent a day at a time and seeing the miracles of the program finally work for me because I started to open myself up to a spiritual awakening. I trusted the process and I said, step 9 is way down the line. I trust that I will be held during that period. So that was my stuff that I brought to fourth and fifth step. I went through the questions. I've done it various ways. The AA Big Book columns way. There were other workbooks that I had done. I had been in a previous food program, and I worked it that way as well. And then the see how questions, it's a lot, and it's just a day at a time, a question at a time. And so also my earlier versions of doing the fourth step were I wrote all the answers and then spent hours with my sponsor, and I felt very held in that fifth step process. And my sponsor would offer times where she said, I too have had that experience. And for me, that felt embracing. I'm not alone. These things I'm revealing are not just me and the bad person I am or the bad things that have happened to me or whatever. So that was important in my experience. And then there were times where my sponsor would notice patterns and would just offer them to me as a help in me seeing the bigger picture of what was the foundation of my addiction. So those two aspects are things that I bring to sponsoring when somebody is giving me their fourth step answers in the fifth step. And I see how with the questions, it's a question a day, and then essentially doing the fifth step the next day when I speak to my sponsor. And I love both ways. I really do. I love working. Anyway, I love both ways. And the truth is, there is freedom in writing these things down, exploring all these aspects, and then giving them away and being held and honored in that process. And I'm grateful for the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. And this is Suzanne. I just would like to add a few thoughts. Here in CA, how we do questions, and I've had several sponsees saying, I have to do it the big book way. That's the only way to do it, and that's the way I want to do it. And I just lovingly say, let's do the questions first, and then you can do the columns way. But I'm like, let's, you know what, this is the way I did it. This is the way I did it with my sponsor, and this is, I'd like you to do it. And most of the time, they see, oh, yeah, because there are questions that are very pointed. And if you're just doing a columns inventory, which is great, sometimes we can forget things. And these questions are so to the point, it can bring stuff that was there, but we weren't really remembering or didn't want to remember. So I like doing that, reminding them, you can do the columns one after the questions. This is what we do in CA Hell. I wanted to talk about the different ways of doing inventory. In face-to-face meetings, it's usually you do the questions and you give away the inventory all at once with your sponsor, and that's what I did with my sponsor. I have a face-to-face sponsor, and that seems to work. She did give me a little bit of feedback and pointed out some similarities, and there was something I was upset about, really, which wasn't a big deal, but at the time I really thought it was, and we discussed that. And then after we listened, because I tape record all my questions, she asked me, was there anything else that I needed to add that there was missing? And that's always a nice touch. Some people will leave the room and let you think about it. In my case, I just sat there and prayed about it, and there was one other thing. So that's a nice touch. Here on the phone bridge, I mean, it's not written stone any one way. Sometimes it's a question a day. I've had sponsees break it up into three parts and then do it all at once. So there's different ways of doing it. As long as we do it, that's what counts. It shouldn't take years to do an inventory. Of course, I plead guilty to that one because I got some of the questions read to me, and then a sponsor left program, and then someone very kind did the inventory questions. So it didn't take years, but it took longer than I would have liked. But I got it done. And I did the questions in depth. The other thing is, this is not our only inventory we'll do, hopefully. I've done three, and we are at some point supposed to cycle through the steps. So, you know, I had a friend who wrote, 1,000 pages, and I said, you know, that's not the only inventory we're going to do. Really? No, because stuff comes up, stuff changes, stuff. You see things differently. So all that I want to keep everyone in mind, and it is very freeing. For me, it was very, very freeing. There's nothing to be afraid of. If there are things that you really feel that you can't share with your sponsor for whatever reason, it does say we can give it to someone else, a spiritual person or a therapist. I've never had anybody do that I've sponsored. I've sponsored quite a few people. But I have known that there are times that has happened. I know our co-founder of program gave hers away to a stranger on an airplane. That's what worked for her. So, you know, I think it is good to give it to a sponsor, though. I really do, unless there's some really, really deep stuff. Anyway, that's what I would like to share, and now we'll open it up for sharing or questions. Anybody who'd like to share or ask a question on the fourth and fifth step?
Hi, this is Linda M. Did you say it was okay to do some shares right now?
Uh-huh. Yes, 3-minute okay, shares, and Susan will be our timekeeper. Go ahead.
Wonderful, thank you. This is Linda M. I'm a compulsive eater in San Jose, California, and I love the way the fourth step and fifth step are done in this program. I'm in another program and have done the fourth and fifth in a couple different ways, but the questions are so deep and so specific, and I really got to look back at especially my childhood and see, you know, where I started stealing and lying and hoarding around food. And it was very young. I was really shocked. And it helped me to understand that, you know, my food compulsion and obsession is not something that kind of I learned somewhere, not even necessarily the result of some experience in my life, something negative, but, you know, when I'm stealing and hoarding food at 4 years old, there's something more to it. And so to me, I don't even necessarily need to know what that is. All I need to know is that I have a solution through this program. I've got the 12 steps. I have tools to use. I have people. Because of this program, I have other people that I could talk with that understand. And, you know, and a sponsor that understands what I'm saying and can be compassionate and loving and tell me, this is what I've found works to move past this, you know, when my ego starts getting flaring up. And, you know, other people in the program will remind me, do a gratitude list, you know, get off the pity pot, do something different. And I can hear it from these people. I can hear it from my sponsor, because I know she's not, she's just doing it for me. There's no other ulterior motive that she has other, thank you, than for me to be able to be my best self. And that requires me to not compulsively eat. And that requires me to do this program. It works for me. And also as the result of doing the first 30 questions, I was able to realize that I had a wonderful, wonderful life when I was young. I thought it was terrible, and at least early on, it was really wonderful, and I'm very, very grateful for that, because it's given me a new attitude and a different relationship with my parents and with my brother. So with that, are we doing phone numbers or not?
No.
Because it's recorded. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Would anyone else like to share on the fourth and fifth step or ask a question? Well, since no one really wants to share or ask a question on the fourth and fifth step, we can go on to another topic. Anybody? This is your chance if you'd like to share or ask a question on the fourth and fifth step. All right, well then we'll move on to another topic, weighing and measuring our words to our sponsor. Susan, would you like to comment on this this topic?
Hi, it's Susan, compulsive eater. Weighing and measuring how we speak to our sponsee is a big topic. Another way to speak of it is practicing loving kindness when we're talking to our sponsee. And I would say, and I've said this before, I believe that the sponsoring relationship is an opportunity to really work on our relationships with others in general. It's this intimate daily opportunity to see where we may not have developed certain skills in relating to others, and certainly practicing loving kindness is one area that I have definitely needed work on and have worked on, and I'm still far from feeling like it's resolved. I'm hesitating because I'm going to talk about all the ways that I have stumbled and continue to stumble, not all the ways, some of the ways that are up in the forefront of my mind. And I was not spoken to with loving kindness. I was spoken to in my early years with judgment and essentially the message of, you did that wrong and you're bad. And that is how I learned how to talk to others. I absorbed that, and that is what I have brought to the sponsoring relationship. many times, and I, you know, while I am so much more thoughtful about speaking to the sponsee, speaking to my sponsee in a loving, kind way, and meeting them where they are in their journey, I stumble towards these old habits again and again, and that's hurtful and harmful both to the sponsee and to myself. And being able to repair that, name it, and you know, come clean, and that is also a part of being in healthy relationships, is being able to honestly just come with an acknowledgement, an apology, having no expectations of how the other person is going to receive it, really does open up the relationship for more intimacy. And it can also, you know, close down the relationship because the other person has been harmed and can't trust what I'm going to say. So with great humility, I recognize that this is an area that I still am learning and growing around. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, would you like to share on this?
Thank you. The relationship between sponsor and sponsee, and it's not always the same. Each sponsee is different, and I need, it takes a couple times of a couple phone calls and maybe some more until I feel that out and to know that, do they want my involvement or not? What I tend to do, though, is if you ask any sponsee of mine, I don't discuss my life. Now, there may be sponsees that do. I learned from the sponsee that I have today that I like to keep my life separate. And on my program, life is one thing. My personal life is something else. And I'm type of person that don't like to discuss with other people in general about what's going on in my personal life if I don't have to, and definitely don't think it's makes sense, or it's something that's going to help the relationship between sponsor and sponsee. So having said that, I love to get involved in listening to the sponsees' calls and listening to what they need to say about their life and how they're dealing with things. One thing that comes to mind, I had a sponsee not long ago when we started. It was all about one issue that she had, and constant complaining and constant harping on that one issue, and not with food. It was something other than food, and an addiction she had, and she couldn't get rid of it, and she couldn't stop talking about it, and it would affect her home life and her home situation constantly. And so it became where she'd answer the question and revert right back to that problem, answer the question and go right back to it every single day. It was when we finished those first 30 questions and we went on to the tradition questions that things changed completely. The tradition questions are such that it requires thinking, it requires different type of delving into the situation, the program in general. It's not the questions that we have the first 30 days. It changed her completely. She went out of herself and started writing these questions, and I didn't hear that problem every single day. She changed, and she grew, and it was so obvious to her and to myself, definitely. I kept telling her, I see such beautiful growth, and her life has changed. It's only about a year now, but she's a different person. She is emotionally a different person, and her life has changed around her. Now, it's easier for me to see it in the sponsee than it is to see in my own life, but I know for myself, I have worked in character defects, changed so many things in my life, and when we talk about the promises and the miracles coming true, they absolutely do. And it's so wonderful to see that happening with a sponsee. To say that I take credit for, not at all. I was just there to pick up the phone, listen, and help her out. And so my job is not to be a therapist. I'm not qualified. I don't want to be. And it's not my job to advise either. My job is to listen. If she asks for something, some help with something, I might say, this is how I deal with this thing in my life, or this is how I deal with it. Never, this is how you should do something. So that relationship works beautifully. The relationship I have with my sponsor is absolutely fantastic. We can laugh, we can discuss things, and work. I'm comfortable. There's nothing that I can say that I feel that I'll be judged on, or that, hey, that wasn't the right thing to do. Because there are times when I hang up the phone, even with a share, hey, you shouldn't have said that. You could have said, you know, maybe you would have said that differently. I don't have that with a sponsor. It's always about, hey, it doesn't matter what I said. Did it come out right, wrong? It doesn't matter. And she's not judging me. And that's what's beautiful about that relationship. So I try to convey that to a sponsee as well. And so make it a real comfortable, compassionate relationship. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. And this is Suzanne. I'd just like to share a couple of things. I have learned along the way not to do things a certain way or to do them a little differently. I think I told one person, you need to go to X program. I only did that once, and as soon as I did it, I realized that's not the way to do it. So now if due to someone's writing or their sharing, I think they may need another program, this is how I phrase it. You know, when you're ready, you may want to think about dot, dot, dot. When you're ready. I had one sponsee I said that to, and the next day she called me and she said, you're absolutely right, and thank you for telling me when I was ready, I may want to do it, I did it. I'm like, whoa, that was fast. But I did it in a very loving, non-judgmental, go do this or else. And maybe they won't go do it, but I planted a seed that perhaps maybe that might be helpful. I had to do that for a while or something. The other thing is, I've had this happen recently. I remember a few years ago, someone called me, like, what do you do with this when your sponsor says this to you? A guy called me a couple months ago and said, what do you do with when the sponsor says, go to another program that's not ours, it's another food program? Not like, and I think one other time someone said, the sponsor said, you don't belong here, go to blank. And you know, I think my sponsor has told me that can be harmful to someone. I know that for me, all my life, I felt like I didn't belong. I was an outsider looking in. And if I were to hear my sponsor say, go to blank, you don't belong here, that could devastate me. I know sometimes perhaps we don't know what to say if someone is in relapse, and we do the best that we can. But I think before you say that, I think for me, I have to pause and weigh and measure what comes out of my mouth. And that's not always easy, but I try my very, very best because I know that as compulsive eaters, we're sensitive and we take things very, very, we can take them very personally, and we're just sensitive. I know that I am. I used to be a lot more sensitive than I am now, but I think it's very important to think about what we're going to say to someone. They can feel very, very hurt. And they might leave and never go to any program. I know that's not my responsibility, but still I need to be kind and loving, as it was put. So would anyone like to share on this topic or ask a question? You don't have to be abstinent to ask a question. Anybody can ask a question.
Hi, Susie. This is Ginger. May I ask a question?
Yes, Ginger, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So, when working with a sponsee, what do you suggest when the person is not following the tools because they're not consistently abstinent, they're not doing their 911 plan, and there's just, I guess, that frustration. Not knowing what to say because, you know, we can't give our program away through osmosis. So just some suggestions on what to do when we have a sponsee who is struggling and how do we be kind and loving and help them work their program.
Thank you, Ginger. Susan, you want to take that first?
Hi. certainly there are many answers depending on the person. One thing I go to is talking about the first three steps, because I do believe they are the foundation of committing to the program and recovery. And so I will say, do you believe that your life is unmanageable and that on your own you cannot refrain from eating compulsively? Do you believe that your life is unmanageable and you want something different and can't do it on your own? And, you know, I'll really... push, you know, with loving kindness, but, you know, someone who is not ready to explore that may find ways to skirt around answering that question directly. So I think that is, for me, is a really important question to explore. If the sponsee is willing to admit, yes, and yet I still can't stay abstinent, I'll move on to steps 2 and 3. Do you believe a higher power, your understanding of a higher power or God, as you call it, can restore you to sanity? And I'll really want to look at whichever way that person answers, really what it looks like within them. Because, you know, combining those two, the powerlessness and the turning to a higher power that can guide us to the healing of recovery, I think are the essential building blocks. And, you know, and I also hold the possibility that the person just isn't ready. I will say that, you know, is it possible you're just not ready, that your ego and willfulness are still not defeated, you know, that you haven't been defeated yet and still need to try to do this on your own in some way, and, you know, that's somehow still happening within you. Those are some answers that come to mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, would you like to share on this?
Okay. I guess the question was, if someone's not ready to do that or can't find their way to program, and abstinence becomes very hard to them, or something that I understood that well. Well, what I would start with is that when I came into program, this was in 2001, I hated the idea of spirituality. I came into that room just to know how to lose some weight, because I heard that this program works. And when I started hearing people talk about spirituality, higher power, I wanted to bolt. I figured I've got to stay here for the hour because it's not nice to walk out in the middle, but I started listening to people share. You know, I wasn't impressed with people that got up and spoke about how much weight they lost. I knew how to do that. I just didn't know how to keep it off. So hearing people say that they had all those years of long-term abstinence, that was great. That's what got me coming back. But I didn't like the spiritual part of it. I didn't think my higher power had anything to do with my food. But I came to learn pretty quickly that he has a lot to do with my food. He has a lot to do with my life if I let him. And if I am in a good fit spiritual condition, I can. And I just benefit tremendously. So the first thing I ask my sponsee, I identify with my sponsee, and I know where she's coming from, and then I tell her that the most important thing for me today is to attend meetings. I need to hear how other people are doing it. I need to hear people that were in relapse and how they're coming back. I stay after the meetings or fellowshipping, as we'll call it, just to hear how they struggled or how they're still struggling and how people help them come back. And so the meaning is tremendously important. So that's where I get my information. That's where I get my experience, strength, and help from others doing it. And so that's what I think is the most important aspect of my program. And then, of course, steps 1, 2, and 3, something I practice every day. You know, get out of bed, grateful that I'm abstinent. I was abstinent yesterday, looking to another abstinent day today, turning to my higher power, asking him for another abstinent day, and then asking for his guidance for the rest of the day, accepting his will. So these steps 1, 2, and 3 are very important to me. But before I can talk to someone that's not ready to do the program, I don't throw it that way at them. You know, higher power, steps. I first have them listen to other people about the physical part of the program, the abstinence, and then they slowly get to where they realize that, or at least I did, to where I cannot do this without my higher power. I cannot do this with everyone in program. Director, let me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. And I would add, yeah, step one is so, so important. I think it's the only step we need to do perfectly. I will continue to work with people if they're struggling, if they call me every day, and if they're willing to do writing every day. When I was very new sponsoring, my sponsor told me if I have someone that is not abstinent or relapse or just doesn't get it, to keep going to meetings. I think that's a theme here. Are you willing to go to as many meetings as possible? And here's the other thing. Not just the speaker meetings, but if they really don't get it, but they want to stay, then go to big book meetings. Study the big book, the 12 and 12, and do the writing. And if they stay, and if they go to enough meetings, they'll probably get it. I'll say probably because I'm not God. You know, the big book talks about people who went to AA meetings for, you know, months, maybe years. They were not sober, but something happened and they got it. So I would say keep going to meetings. And if the person, I remember telling one of my sponsees who just was calling me, and that's it. I said, please don't waste my time. I'm busy. I have other sponsees. I will not abandon you, as I've had people with abandonment issues, but don't waste my time. Do the writing. Go to meetings. At least let's start there, because if they consistently go to meetings and they consistently do the writing, most of the time, they'll get abstinent, and if they're not ready, they'll go away for a while, maybe. Or maybe they'll just keep going to meetings until they think they're ready. And that's what I can share. Would anyone else like to ask a question or share? I guess I should check the time.
4 minutes left.
Ah, okay. One more question or one more share? Either on inventory or being loving and kind to our sponsees. All right, well, no one wants to speak up and ask a question. I will say, when is our next sponsorship forum, Susan?
March 18th, Sunday, March 18th, same time.
Okay, same time, same dial-in number, same access code. So if anybody has any questions or suggestions, feel free to call any one of us, and we'll address that stuff, whatever it is. So I'd like to thank everybody who was here. Thank you, Cheryl and Susan. And let's close with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity,
to accept the things I cannot change,
courage
to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, everybody.